What you are about to hear is part of the PodGods Network. If you have a problem with anything you hear, please write it in an email. Enjoy the show!
This episode of the Random Variety Show podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download of your choice with over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player by visiting audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow. And now, on with the show!
This is Chris Gates from Child of War, and you're listening to the Random Variety Show podcast, season
2,
episode number
12. It's the Random Variety Show podcast with Charlie Miller. Hey, that's me. It's the only bi-weekly podcast that's random, has variety, and is a show for the week of September 20th, 2013. Hello and welcome back to another great episode of the Random Variety Show podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're joining us for the first time, hey, welcome aboard and hang on because it's going to be one hell of a ride. Am I right, listeners, longtime listeners? Yeah, you know, you're coming back for more. Of course you know. However you got here, however many times you're coming here, thanks so much for just being here. Our guests today are Becky and Jill. Now, I have come to refer to them ever so fondly as the Teal Ladies, and that will make more sense once we get to the interview a little bit later in the program. They are such wonderful, wonderful people, and I want to say right up front right now, you'll hear it probably a few times during the show, thank you, ladies, for being on this episode. I really do appreciate it. Which means it's now time for
Random Segments.
The random segment on the Random Variety Show podcast.
Random segment.
Random
segment.
Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Random segment. Stop the train. I want to get off.
Random segment. Random segment.
We've entered the random segment.
Listener, you've just arrived at the random segment. I don't know what any of that was. That's all left to the producer, Reginald. He's the one that puts that together. I just record sound bites that he asks me to record.
You are correct, Charlie. I always ask you to record those random bits of sound, and I love editing them together. And I hope you do too, listener.
I'm sure they do, Reginald. That's why they're coming back for more. Thank you very much for keeping that intro into the random segment as random as we possibly can each and every episode. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure the listeners do too. Anyway, the random segment, it's a chance for me to fill you in on what's been going on in my life for the last couple of weeks. Well, wow, it has been a crazy couple of weeks, to say the least. Lots of things going on. The number one reason why I'm running a little behind on this episode and why it's just been a crazy couple of weeks is Drew has turned 1 year old. Yay! Woohoo! Yeah, he's over a year. He turned one on the 15th of September, and we had a party on the 14th. It was just a lovely, lovely time. I did post some pictures through Instagram on that. Not a lot, just a few. So go back and check those out there. And it was just lots of fun to see family and friends that we haven't seen in, some we haven't seen since the baby shower, which was over a year ago. And so it was just nice to catch up with people and see how, you know, Drew is interacting with people now and people that had seen him, you know, a few months ago commenting on the fact, oh, wow, he's gotten so big. You know, all the standard stuff that you do when you see a baby grow. You haven't seen him for a few weeks. Of course, you're going to make a comment. Oh, wow, they look so big. Oh, he's getting so big. Oh, look, they're running. Oh, look, they're walking. Oh, they're toddling. You know, whatever the case may be, you're always going to be surprised. So hearing that happen was just lots of fun watching him eat, dig into this cake that my wife made him, a healthy, you know, cake for a one-year-old. Applesauce instead of sugar and things like that. I let her handle it. That's her thing. But he was just digging into it. It was just lots of fun. It was just a magical experience, and I'm so looking forward to the rest of them. And since we're talking about Drew, I have to share with you, the listeners, and this is for parents or people who know friends that have kids in the you know, 6 month to 2 year old range, online on Amazon, and this is going to be posted in the show notes. So go back to randomvarietyshow.com, check the show notes for this link. Is I found something on Amazon called the Laugh and Learn Fun with Friends Musical Table.
Huh?
Yes, that is the entire title. That's the name of the product. It is a Laugh and Learn Fun with Friends Musical Table.
What
a title, because it isn't really all that. I mean, it is fun. It's a musical table, and he does laugh and he does learn, but we don't need that all in the title. So there'll be a picture, like I said, in the show notes, so you can go check it out on Amazon and see that there. But what it is it's a kind of a four-sided table, but the table doesn't have to sit up on the legs. The table could be on the ground, you know, without the legs, or with the use of legs, and the legs are only like a foot each or a foot high. And so it helps him, you know, maneuver and kind of toddle around, but there's lights and buttons and things to turn and twist and such. But the thing that I really like about this musical with fun with friends, laugh and learn table thing that we got him is it has, I think I'm going off the cuff here, I don't have it in front of me, 5 different settings for learning capabilities. One of them is learn Spanish. So it says whatever the reference point is, there's colors and different things on this little table. So for example, if he pushes the red button, you know, it'll say red, rojo, you know, things like that. And it just starts getting that in his ear, and that's just amazing. Then there's one where it talks about specifically counting and then letters and numbers and things like that. So, I mean, he's only a year now, but I can foresee him using this for at least another year, if not longer, because of just the fun, interactive way to just reinforce these skills. It was amazing. It was one of the best finds I could find, which is why I'm sharing it with you. So go to randomvarietyshow.com, look for this episode, Season 2, Episode 12. It's going to be linked right in the show notes there. Click on it. It'll take you to Amazon. You can read all about this wonderful thing on Amazon. Plus, when you click on my link from the webpage, a few pennies come back to help out the show. So you're not only benefiting yourself or this, you know, the child that you'll be purchasing this for, but you'll also be helping out the show a little bit. And if nothing else, tell a friend. Send them the link and let them look at it. And still, we can help the show. Okay, so that was the random segment about Drew and what's been going on the last 2 weeks with Drew. The next part of the random segment part do, as I kind of refer to once in a while, it is going to be a very busy rest of 2013 for me. Yay me. Because... as of right now, the recording of this particular episode, I am in the midst of rehearsal as a co-director to a local theater group here in San Diego. And when publicity gets taken care of and there's more information to actually hand out, virtually hand out to you, I will. I'll post some information here in the show, on the website, on the Facebook page. So that's coming down the pike in the next couple episodes. But as a heads up, because I know sometimes people listen to these shows, you know, after they've published. The show is going up the first 2 weeks in November in San Diego, California. The name of the show is Tribute by Bernard Slade. That's all I'm going to give you right now. If you want to know more information, send me an email. The email address will be given later in the program. Or randomvarietyshow.com and ask me about it. Or hold your horses until future episodes come out, because I'll tell you all about it. And another thing that I can't really let out of the bag just yet, but there is a very strong possibility I will be directing for another local theater group here in San Diego. And their show will be going up in the second and third week of December, I believe, is when that is. So, again, hang on to your hats and glasses and keep attention to the podcast, and I'll tell you more about it as everything grows. And now, as a little random bonus, a classic vintage commercial.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, with Ralph Edwards' permission, I'm going to play Truth or Consequences with the audience here in the studio. Would you like that, folks? Okay. All right, now, here is the question. How many empty Pabst Blue Ribbon bottles have you returned to your dealer during the past week? How many?
1,000.
All right. All right. Even though you've told the truth, you'll have to pay the consequences. And that goes for everybody listening in. Tomorrow morning, right after breakfast, take a bushel basket or a paper bag, go out into your pantry and down into the cellar and out in the garage, and gather up every empty Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle you can find. Now, before sunset tomorrow night, you're to return all those bottles to your dealer. Aren't we devils, dear? Now, just because you've been a mighty good sport about this, friend, your dealer is going to reward you with a handsome sum of money, the amount of the deposit on those bottles. But better than that, the chances are he'll have more Pabst Blue Ribbon in stock when you ask for it in the future. For instead of sitting around and empty in people's houses, those bottles will be back at our big Pabst plants being filled with clear, mellow, sparkling Pabst Blue Ribbon. So, folks, please pitch in tomorrow, won't you? And return those empty bottles. Remember, the more bottles, the more blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It's time for Groucho's Corner here on the Random Variety Show podcast. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, first and foremost, thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. Longtime listeners, you know that I love it when you keep coming back for more. But if this is your first episode, I highly suggest that after this episode, go back to the archive at either iTunes or randomvarietyshow.com and listen to, well, I suggest the anniversary show, Season 2, Episode 1. Why? Well, it contains the full and complete conversation I had with Groucho Marx, and you'll find out exactly why he's on my podcast. You'll also find out a little more information about the show as well. But in a nutshell, I was tooling around the internet looking for people to interview. I stumbled across the disembodied voice of the legendary Groucho Marx, who graciously accepted to be on my podcast, and well, the rest is history. Now, our guests today, as I mentioned before, are the lovely teal ladies, Becky and Jill. Now, I've called them the teal ladies because teal is the color for ovarian cancer awareness, just as pink is the color for breast cancer awareness. And both of these lovely, lovely ladies are survivors of ovarian cancer. Now, this interview was recorded on September 4th, 2013, and I'm just going to let it roll from here. Ladies, Groucho, take it away. Hello, and welcome to Groucho's Corner here on the Random Variety Show podcast. And today we're going to take a little bit of a twist here, a little bit of a spin, something we've never done before. Hey, Charlie, come on over here. Get out of the booth. Hi, Groucho. Charlie, this is a serious subject we're going to be talking about, so why don't I step back, since I'm always the laugh-a-riot guy, and why don't you start the interview, and I'll come back for, whenever I want to, but definitely the Bernard Pivot questions. Are you sure, Groucho? This is your thing. It's called Groucho's Corner. Charlie, I'm positive. All right, I'll see you later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're here in Groucho's Corner. I'm kind of subbing for Groucho today, so it's Charlie's Corner, I guess. And we have two amazing ladies with us today. We have Becky and Jill that are both ovarian cancer survivors and advocates. Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show. And Groucho, thank you for letting me lead this interview. This is going to be cool. Thank you, ladies. How are you tonight?
Great, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's start with Becky, since I know our listeners are going to be familiar with you. You're the Twitter handle at Cranky Mom of Two, and I've always mentioned you in the listener feedback. I finally got you on the show.
Yay!
I'm so excited, so excited. So let's why don't you just introduce yourself to the audience so they can hear your voice.
Well, I'm Becky, Cranky Mom of Two, and I am a current cancer survivor, and I am an advocate, so there are more women's lives that get saved by knowing what to know.
Perfect. And Jill, you and I actually just kind of met with this call tonight when we set it up to get Groucho together, but anyway, whatever. Introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure. My name is Jill, and my Twitter handle is KnockoutOC. I'm cancer-free for 8 months and 2 days today after a seven-year fight. The past few years, I've become a steadfast advocate for a standard ovarian cancer test and awareness for the disease.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, that actually leads me right into the first question I got here is, how did you both get involved in this? I mean, it seems as if it's something that... It pulled you to it. You know, it's not like you went off to want to do this. It kind of just happened. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. you know, for me, I was 29 years old and I went to the gynecologist for a normal exam and I screamed in pain. I was having pain, which is why I made the appointment. And I presented every single symptom of ovarian cancer to my gynecologist. And I was told that pain was normal. And basically, I'll see you next year. Had I listened to my gynecologist, I would not be here right now.
Now, and so, were those, I'm sorry to interrupt, were these the signs? Were those, did you know they were signs or did the gynecologist know they were signs?
I knew that they were signs. You know, I had done a little bit of research. You know, now that we have Google, everybody tends to, you know, look up the symptoms. So you always think the worst. You know, but when I presented with every single ovarian cancer symptom. And my gynecologist basically wrote it off as cramps and told me to take Midol.
Well, it sounds like that gynecologist doesn't do their job very well. I mean, I'm sorry to get a little aggressive there, but that kind of, I mean, that bothers me. You know, you trust these people who are doctors, gone to school or whatever, and you do your own research, as you mentioned, and you go in and you present it to them and they turn around and say no? I'm sorry, that irks me too. I've had similar situations myself, but we're not here for me today. Go ahead.
But it's so unacceptable, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, most women are going to listen to their doctor and they're going to come back in a year. And in that year, it might be too late, you know, so we have to start educating women to really be advocates for their body and really not take, you know, pain is normal or, you know, see you next year or, you know, deal with it as an answer. We need to find solutions and we need to get to the root of what the problem is.
Right, right. So you went into your gynecologist and the gynecologist said, don't worry about it. And well, obviously you did worry about it. What did you do next?
Get a second opinion
or something?
Well, I left the office, I called my mother, and I went to the hospital, and 2 days later, I found out that I had ovarian cancer.
Now, did you report this gynecologist to their board or wherever you could report these people?
I did. We reported her on, you know, several websites and to the physician's board. You know, but this is very, very typical. This is the reason, you know, that 70% of women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer die within 1 year of being diagnosed because they're being misdiagnosed and they're being told, you know, that it's cramps or that it's bloating or that it's something else. So it's something that's really, really serious. And this is the factor, you know, as to why women are being diagnosed late stage.
Okay. And so that's how you got involved in the awareness of ovarian cancer. What about you, Becky? I mean, how did it happen for you?
Well, we lost our third child, and then I ended up having to have my gallbladder taken out. When they were taking out my gallbladder in February, they noticed that my ovarian cysts, quote-unquote, were larger than normal. So after going to two different gynecologists finally in September, after finding this out in February, that my cysts were larger than normal, and September, I went to a new gynecologist and they did an ultrasound and they set me up for my hysterectomy. She's like, I just think, you know, you've had two living children. We talked about the pros and cons of having more because I had horrible pregnancies and that my family has the Lynch syndrome, which ups the risks of ovarian cancer and colon cancer.
I'm not familiar with the Lynch syndrome.
And they got in there to do my hysterectomy. It's a genetic mutation.
Oh,
and it
okay.
just, it ups the chance, or not, it's not really a mutation, it's just, it's, and it just ups your chance of colon, ovarian, and breast cancer. It's in your genes. And so they got in there to do my hysterectomy, and my cyst on my left ovary was connected to my kidney, and I had spots on my colon. So I ended up having my left kidney removed and a full hysterectomy. And 3 inches of my colon.
Wow. Well, it's just an honor to be able to speak with you after going through an ordeal like that. And in the sense of you liking the show, knowing you on the fan base level, I have to say that's an honor, Becky.
Thanks.
Thank you. Wow. I'm so moved. Now, Now, Jill, you said you went and researched this because you were having the pains of, and you found out that they were the symptoms. What can our listeners do to learn more about what these symptoms might be? Because, you know, somebody might be driving around or doing their work and feeling, I don't know, a little pain or I don't know any of the symptoms, you know, and not think twice about it.
Right. I mean, as women, you know, and men too, we have to learn to listen to our bodies and we have to learn to know our bodies. And, you know, if you're bloated for a long time and if you have, you know, you have to pee every 20 minutes, if you get really, really hungry, but really, really full really quickly, if you're having really, really bad cramps, you know, all of these things, you have to listen, you know, separately. They are what they are, but combined, you know, if you're having all these issues, you have to go to the doctor and you have to ask your doctor to figure out what's wrong. You know, don't just mask it with taking pain pills. Find out what it is, because you know what? It might not be ovarian cancer. It might be stomach cancer. It might not be stomach cancer. It might just be gas, you know, but you need to get to the root of what the problem is. And I think that that is such a problem in our society. Everybody's medicating instead of figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that seems to be the answer a lot of the time is, you know, take this pill or, you know, pain reliever or medication of whatever sort it may be to then that seems to be to solve it. And it just seems to me that they're really putting like a Band-Aid on the situation, not really trying to fix it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And these younger girls that they're seeing that have ovarian cancer, I don't know if Jill knows this, abnormal periods up until the age of 18 is not normal. If your daughter is having an abnormal period, take her to the gynecologist. Tell them the symptoms. I am 99% sure if my mom would have listened to me when I was younger, I wouldn't have gone through everything I went through.
Really? Wow. Wow. Well, and that kind of goes back to what Jill was saying, because she did do the right thing. She researched it on her own, luckily, and then went to the doctor. And unfortunately, that particular doctor said, oh, don't worry about it. And Jill had the instinction to know to go get at least a second opinion. And in your case, you complained about it. But because, you know, people aren't used to, as Jill said, listening to their bodies, in your case, Becky, nobody went to... Nobody took you to the doctor, or at least for the right thing.
Yeah, we just passed it off on me having fibromyalgia and lupus, or we were blaming it on my Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It was always something else. They weren't going to the root of the source. And I can tell you, I feel so much better after my hysterectomy.
Good, good. So that kind of did the trick, you might say?
Yes.
Good. Good. I mean, sad in the sense that that's no longer part of your anatomy, but good that you're still living and breathing.
Yep.
Because I think that's a better, I like that side of the coin better than the other one. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. So now, where can our listeners, I mean, I'm going to have lists of websites in the show notes. Becky, you sent some through email to me. So thank you. I got those and I'm going to have those in the show notes for our listeners. Go back to randomvarietyshow.com. Look for this episode. You'll see all these links we're going to be talking about here. What are some, in your ladies' opinions, what are some of the best websites or links to go to find more information, maybe converse with ladies like yourself, survivors and advocates? You know, what is the best resource for our listeners to go be aware?
I love I Had Cancer. That has been such an amazing resource for me. They have online message boards, you know, and it's just a really, really good resource center. So I love I Had Cancer, and I also love Stupid Cancer. Stupid Cancer has meetups. I know they have them in New York City. I don't know if there are other locations. I know that they are other places, but Stupid Cancer is for young adults, so like 40 and under, really to connect, which I think is amazing because, you know, it's not a specific cancer resource, you know, but you can find people who are your age that are going through the same thing, whether it's the same cancer, you know, the same neighborhood, somebody going to the same hospital as you. And it's just been a really fantastic resource for me. And then obviously the American Cancer Society, cancer.org, is a fabulous resource. Live Strong is a fabulous resource. And also Stand Up to Cancer is a fabulous resource.
Is there one that is, you can get certain information about different things? Is one better than the other on certain topics, I guess, is the way to say that?
Cancer.org, which is the American Cancer Society's site, is very, very comprehensive. And LiveStrong is very similar to that. It's basically like a resource center, you know, as well as an encyclopedia. So you can find everything on that site.
Fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. Becky, did you have any sites that you want to throw out?
For the cancer, for like the teal and the stuff, I think whyteal.org, whyteal.org, has some good information if you're having the symptoms of ovarian cancer. Now, I joined Hyster Sisters, which is talks about hysterectomy, just different things, and I was able to connect with some wonderful women on that page, private page. They have Facebook also with Hyster Sisters, and it's just, you connect with people your age going through the same, because no one should have to have a hysterectomy at almost 26 years old. No one should have to go through hormone replacement therapy. It's horrible to go through alone, and when you can meet with other women your age, older and younger, that are going through the same thing, it's nice to have those two sites.
All right, excellent. Those, and like I mentioned, those will be listed in our show notes for anybody to go check out. So now, Jill, if people wanted to say, let's say people want to donate some money to help the research of ovarian cancer or any sort of cancer, what would you suggest people do?
What I would suggest, you know, I'm a big advocate for that standard test and for that early detection test, because ovarian cancer does not have a test like most other cancers do. So this is something that's important. When somebody goes to their gynecologist, they think that the blood test they're getting and they think that the pap smear that they're getting is going to detect ovarian cancer, and it doesn't. So we need research for a test so that this can become part of a gynecological exam. So, you know, I always suggest that people go ahead and do their research for any organization, ovarian cancer or otherwise, that they're thinking about donating to. You know, but for me, it's really important to get that test, you know, get that research in there so that we can identify and have a test.
Is no work being done on that test as of now? Is there nowhere where somebody could go to say, here, I want to support it? Is that how backwards we are?
There are organizations and there are researchers that are trying to, you know, find a test. You know, there have been great strides made. You know, there's a blood test that if you get the blood test in conjunction with a sonogram and an exam, no doctor is going to do that routinely. But if you do that, that combination is a very good indicator of whether or not you have ovarian cancer. The blood test alone has a lot of glitches with it, but combined with the sonogram or ultrasound, whatever you want to call it, and an exam, those three usually can tell you whether or not to proceed with exploring ovarian cancer, if that makes any sense. But
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of research being done, and, you know, it's great to do research for a cure, and obviously we need a cure. And I think, you know, once there's a cure for, let's say, type 1 diabetes or, you know, other diseases, I think that they will all work in tandem and end up becoming cures for other diseases. So I'm very hopeful with that. You know, obviously it's frustrating because these diseases have been around for so long, and it doesn't look like progress is being made, you know, but in the lab, it is. So it's, you know, knowing that all of these organizations still need funding. I would always suggest to give to a research organization versus a third party organization. I think that that's important because it's going right to the source.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. No, you always want to go right to the source for well, anything on a number of things in life. Yeah, of course, of course. Becky, did you have any words similar that you wanted to share on this?
I'm with her. You need to go to a person who is actually researching. There's great groups out there, but you need to go to the source who's doing the research, who's actually doing the work. We need to cure other diseases, but we need to have a test. If we're not getting a test, because you're not going to get insurance to pay for you to have a sonogram every year. Insurance,
yeah, unfortunately, insurance isn't going to do those sorts of things, and that's so upsetting.
So we need a standardized test.
And also, Becky, you know, our whole conversation that we had, you know, about the gene testing, my mother was actually diagnosed with breast cancer this summer, and we both tested negative for the BRCA1 and BRCA2 tests. You know, and a lot of women are getting tested, you know, for the genes and then saying, oh, well, I'm negative. I have nothing to worry about. And then they're neglecting their doctor appointments, which is horrible.
Exactly. I tested negative for both of them also.
Neglecting their doctor appointments? How do you mean?
So if the gene test comes back that you don't have the gene, a lot of women are saying, oh, I don't have the gene. I have nothing to worry about. They're a little more lax with, you know, going for a mammogram or going to their gynecologist, et cetera. You know, and I'm living proof. My mother has breast cancer and I had ovarian cancer and we did not test positive for the gene.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Okay. Now, let's say a year or two from now, what are your goals in the sense of this specifically, since that's why we're here today, ovarian cancer awareness, and let's ask Becky first. What do you hope to accomplish in the next year or two?
I hope more women are surviving. I mean, a 30% live rate after a year is not acceptable. We need to get more women aware of their bodies and not just going with what doctors say. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to know your body. You need to know what's going on with your body. Medicine does not fix everything. Your back should not hurt. You should not have horrible cramps. You should not have abnormal periods. You need to listen to your body more and stand up for yourself. Not every doctor is right.
Okay. And Jill, what are your, you know, I guess, short-term goals, one year, 2 year, what would you like to see have happen? What do you want happen?
My hopes and dreams are that 24/7, 365 days a year, like other cancers do, people know about ovarian cancer. People link the teal with ovarian cancer. You know, having September as Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month is all well and good, but we need it every single day. Look at how people, you know, see a pink ribbon and they know right away it's breast cancer. They go and they get their mammograms and they check their breasts for lumps and they're completely aware. You know, granted, some people aren't as steadfast in going to the doctors and doing their self-exams and all of that, but we don't have that for ovarian cancer. And it's completely frustrating because our cancer is killing people and it's just so tragic. You know, so for, you know, the next year or two, one of my goals and a project that I'm going to be working on actually in October, specifically because it's not September, I'm actually going to be putting together fact sheets about ovarian cancer and circulating them to every single gynecologist in New York State. I'm going to be working with a donated printing company and also getting this online and really making it go viral so that there is information in every gynecologist and every oncologist office talking about the symptoms of ovarian cancer because it's not there right now. There are other cancer fact sheets, but there is nothing about ovarian cancer in any of the offices that I've been to, and I've been to a ton.
I've never seen a fact sheet on ovarian cancer at any of the oncologists or any of the OBs I've ever been to either. It's
horrible. Well, not that I spend a lot of time around those offices myself, but I haven't seen it either. I don't see a lot of those.
We're going to make it be there. That's what we're going to do.
All right. That's the goal. That's the goal. Let's make that happen. All right. I think I saw, well, he just, Groucho just walked by. I don't. Groucho. Yes? Come over here. What do you need? Oh, it's my turn now? Yes, yes, come on. You can jump in here now, because we need a little enlightenment or something. Well, goody, that's just what I'm here for. All right, well, let's talk about something a little more fun now. What are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do for fun? Becky, you start first. What do you like to do for fun?
I love to fish. I love to hunt. I'm a mom of two wonderful kids, so I'm running after baseball and soccer and physical
therapy. Essentially spending time with your kids and having fun with the family.
Yep.
That's an excellent hobby. That's a very excellent hobby. Jill, what about you? What do you like to do in your spare time?
I love spending time with my family and with my friends. I love going to live music shows. I love sports with the exception of baseball. I have never been able to get into baseball, so you can make fun of me all you want.
Well, that's all right. Nobody around here likes sports.
And, you know, I love traveling. I try to do two big trips each year to a place I haven't been to. And the other thing
Two a year? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but two a year?
Two a year.
That's very ambitious.
I almost died. After you almost die, you have to be ambitious. The other thing that I've done is, since my ovarian cancer diagnosis, I've actually done 4 marathons and 5 half marathons. Now, I haven't ran them. I've walked them.
That's all right. You're still out there moving those feet. Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're right. You're right. You got to live life to the fullest. All right. Now, unless there's anything else you want to share about having fun. I guess not. Well, let's find out what your favorite all-time movie is. How about Jill, you go first. What's your favorite all-time movie? If you had to, you know, it's a rainy afternoon, people are busy, you don't have anywhere to go because you don't want to go anywhere, so you're sitting home, you put your feet up on the table, and you throw in a movie. What's the movie you want to watch?
I have 2, and you're going to probably laugh about both of them. The first is The Sound of Music, which is my absolute favorite, and the second co-favorite is The Outsiders.
Well, I'm very familiar with The Sound of Music, but The Outsiders I'm drawing a little blank on. I would probably need a refresher.
So The Outsiders is an amazing movie. Everybody was in it. All of the guys who ended up being later heartthrobs, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez.
Is this one of those 80s movies?
Yes.
I think I remember seeing that movie. I'll have to see it again, but it does sound very familiar. Go ahead. Keep going.
So Diane Lane was in it. She played one of the main characters. She was like the female in it. Leif Garrett was in it. I mean, there were so many people in it, and basically what it was kind of like...
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Now, Becky, what's your favorite movie? You finally get a chance away from the kids to sit down and watch whatever you want to watch.
I have 2 movies. I love the movie Sandlot. It just reminds me of my childhood. And then Great Balls of Fire, which... based on Jerry Lee Lewis's story.
Ah, yes. That's a very good movie. I remember seeing that. That's a very good movie. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the other one.
Oh, Sandlot's awesome. It's about baseball, though, so neither of you two would care.
No, nobody around the Random Variety Show cares, really, really cares about sports. I mean, they enjoy going out and watching them, but nobody around here cares. All right. So, you know, I think it's just about that time that why don't you ladies send our audience off to a commercial?
Thank you for listening to the Random Variety Show. Come back after these great commercials.
And in 3, 2, 1. And we're rolling? Okay. Hello, listener. It's commercial time again, and you know what that means, right? It's time for me to inform you of how you can support the Random Variety Show. Well, the website is randomvarietyshow.com. That's where you need to go. Everything about the show can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. The easy-to-find Amazon affiliate link is located on the left-hand sidebar, which means that the very next time you want to purchase something from Amazon, go to randomvarietyshow.com first and click on our Amazon link. This will open Amazon in a new tab or window, and you'll be shopping in the blink of an eye.
And there are no price differences and no extra fees. In fact, you won't even notice the difference. But we will. Pennies for every dollar you spend through our link come back and support the show. And when I say pennies, I mean pennies, not nickels. You'll also find our affiliate link for Audible.com. Audible is one of the leading suppliers of audio entertainment with over 100,000 titles to choose from. And by using our link, or going to audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow, you get a free audiobook. And we get a small finder's fee. Yeah! So, Reggie, who do I send this off to? You or Charlie?
It's Reginald. My name is Sir Reginald Johnson Walker V.
I'm sorry, Reginald.
Sorry, Reginald.
Thank you. Groucho, hand it off to Charlie as you usually would.
Sure thing, Mr. Walker. Now, Charlie, why don't you share one of these 100,000 titles with our wonderful listeners?
Thanks, Groucho. My Audible suggestion this episode is Memoir of a Debulked Woman Enduring Ovarian Cancer. I selected this one because of the topic of the interview. It's written by Susan Gubar, probably butchered that name, and narrated by Tamara Marston. And the summary reads, diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2008, Susan Gubar underwent radical debulking surgery, an attempt to excise the cancer by removing part or all of many organs in her lower abdomen. Her memoir mines the deepest levels of anguish and devotion as she struggles to come to terms with her body's betrayal and the frightful protocols of contemporary medicine. She finds solace in the abiding love of her husband, children, and friends while she searches for understanding in works of literature, visual art, and the testimonies of others who suffer from various forms of cancer. So that's my Audible suggestion this episode, Groucho.
Thanks, Charlie! So visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow right now to take advantage of this fantastic offer. Another way that you can support the show is with a direct donation through our PayPal donate button. Now stop and think about this for a moment. Imagine that you're out on the town having a wonderful dinner at your favorite restaurant. The food is delightful, the service is outstanding, and you really truly enjoyed the last couple hours of your day because of this exceptional dining experience. Now, it's time to pay the bill and tip the service. Well, in the case of the Random Variety Show, there is no bill. The show is free. And that's where the donate button comes in. It's a way of you to tip us for the service provided. How much do you appreciate the show? Or better yet, why don't you buy us a drink? Donate the dollar amount of your favorite beverage from your local retailer or local pub, and we'll mention you and your drink right here on the program. Or not, it's your choice to be anonymous. Now, the easiest and cheapest way to support the show is by going to iTunes and rating, reviewing, and subscribing. By taking 30 to 60 seconds to do this, you help the show grow. And if you're listening through Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up for every episode. That helps share the Random Variety Show with other Stitcher users. And lastly, the best and least expensive way to support the show is by telling a friend. Remember, everything starts at randomvarietyshow.com. And now, back to the show. All right, and we're back. And you know what that means now. We're ready for the Bernard Pivot questions. And I know Becky, being an avid listener, is very familiar with the Bernard Pivot questions. Jill, are you familiar with the Bernard Pivot questions?
I am not.
Well, for the people that aren't, everybody's going to be familiar with them from Inside the Actors Studio with James Lipton. It's the 10 in-depth questions that he asks his guests at the end of every episode. And what we're going to do is we're going to alternate between you ladies. We're going to start with one of you, then you'll answer, go to the next one, and then the person that just answered will answer again. And then we'll tag team back and forth. So, let's start with Becky. The first question is, what is your favorite word? Alrighty. And Jill, what is your favorite word?
Actually, survivor is my favorite word because that defines who I am.
All right, and Jill?
Fighter.
All right, and Jill, you get to answer the second question first. What is your least favorite word?
Cancer.
And Becky, what is your least favorite word?
Failure.
All right. Becky, you get to answer the third question next. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Creatively, the color teal.
All right. And Jill, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Everything in the environment. You know, I go outside a lot, look up, and, you know, see the sky and see the clouds and all that.
Jill, you get to answer the next question first. What turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Negative people.
And Becky, what turns you off?
Negative people.
Yes, that's a very common one. All right, Becky, you get to answer the next one first. And everybody loves this one. What is your favorite curse word? And Jill, what is your favorite curse word? All right, Jill, you get to answer the next question first. What sound or noise do you love?
My niece laughing.
And Becky, what sound or noise do you love?
My little girl and little boy saying, Mommy, I love you.
All right, and Jill, or Becky, you get to answer the next one first. What sound or noise do you hate?
My dolphin laugh.
Now, are we going to get a sample of that? I guess we just did. All right, now, Jill, what sound or noise do you hate?
My neighbor yelling about everything.
All right, Jill, next question goes to you first. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
I would love to be a forensic scientist.
And Becky, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I would love to be a wild game preserve person, have tons of wild game around my house preserving them.
All righty. And Becky, the next one goes to you. What profession would you not like to do?
I would hate to be a CNA. I couldn't wipe other people's butt. I do it enough at home.
Fair enough. All right, Jill, what profession would you not like to do?
Like a math teacher.
Okay, Jill, you get to answer the last question first. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
That I was a really good person and that I left behind a really good legacy.
And Becky, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Grandpa's ready to take you fishing, buddy.
Fantastic. Ladies, why don't you tell our listeners how they can find you on the internet?
You can find me at Cranky Mom of Two on Twitter.
You can find me at Knockout OC on Twitter.
And you know, I have a feeling those are going to be listed in the show notes. Well, ladies, it has been a wonderful evening. I know Charlie took up most of the time, but it's been nice to talking to you here at the end. Charlie, did you want to say goodnight?
Becky, Jill, thank you so much for being on the show. I can't express how thrilled I am that you were part of it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie and Groucho.
Oh, it was our pleasure. It was our pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's send this on back to Reginald so he can edit it together.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, ladies, for being on the show. I really do appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not exactly sure what happened in the middle there, just as they were talking about their favorite movies right before the commercial started. I don't know, some sort of weird hiccup, maybe Reginald did something, I don't know, but we got the gist of it and that's all that really matters. Okay, let's go over the favorite words and the things that had to be bleeped out. This is real easy. Every time you heard the bleep, it was for the infamous F word, booey. And just as a recap, so you don't have to go back and figure out when those were, it was Becky's first choice of favorite word, Becky's favorite curse word, and of course, Jill's favorite curse word. And be sure to check the show notes at randomvarietyshow.com for all the links mentioned during the interview, and also the links to the ladies' Twitter accounts.
Oh, shit. Don Nelson saying, you never have to RSVP for the RVSP.
That's right, John. There is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. Just subscribe on iTunes or use the Stitcher Smart Radio app available on iPhone, iPad, or Android. You can also catch rebroadcasts of the show on WQ4DRadio.com every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, and all time zones in between. WQ4D Radio, the upbeat, classy, rock-your-mind radio streaming 24 hours a day at WQ4DRadio.com. And, of course, you can hear all past episodes at randomvarietyshow.com. I'd like to give a big thank you to our guests of Season 1, Episode 10, John Nelson. John, thanks so much for recording that slogan bit for us. And as a little tidbit history for our listeners, John is actually the very first guest I got to record that, and that's because he wanted to record it. And because of that, it's now pretty much a every episode thing. So, John, thank you so much. If you haven't heard his episode, go back to Season 1, Episode 10. It talks about working with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, working with Flea, suicidal tendencies. It's just a fantastic interview all around, and I got to get John back on the show. I'd also like to thank our opener of the show today, Child of War. They were our guest last episode, Season 2, Episode 11. If you haven't heard their episode, definitely go back and check that out, because they have released two brand new songs within our episode. They were never available to the public until our podcast. So that's something pretty special. Go back, listen to Child of War, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And stick around to the end of this episode. Why? Well, our guests today close out the episode. It's Pod God cross promotion time. Being a member of the Pod Gods Network, we play bumpers from other shows, just like they play ours. So for this episode, we have fellow Pod God.
Excuse me, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Reggie.
Reginald.
I'm sorry, Reginald. I didn't expect you to show up.
Well, ever since the first episode of Season 2, your anniversary show, I've taken over editing and producing the show, remember?
Of course I remember, Reginald. How could I forget?
Well, it seems that we've received some feedback from our wonderful fans and listeners, and the general response is that the PodGod promos that we play, how should I say this, are a bit too racy and explicit.
Really? Our fans have been saying that.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, most podcasts out there in the world aren't as family-friendly as ours.
Yes, I am aware of that, which is why I am bringing it to your attention.
I see. Well, playing the cross-promotional bumpers is part of the agreement I have with Adam Barker and the PodGods Network, so what do you suggest we do?
Well, to keep our program family-friendly and clean, as you stated on iTunes, I suggest that we provide our own cross-promotion for the PodGods Network. That way you can keep up your commitment with the PodGods and maintain our family-friendly quality of programming.
So then, Mr. Producer, what do you suggest I do?
Inform our listeners of the PodGods website and the other programs available.
Oh, well, okay. The website is podgodsnetwork.com, and the other wonderful PodGod programs you'll find there are GarageCast, A Little Punch Drunk, The Monday Movie Show, Oddcast Podcast, Salty Language, Evil Teddy Bear Podcast, Dirty Rotten Show, Dicks and Cider, MovieCom, BUI Podcast, that's Blogging Under the Influence, Get Into Character, Clutch and Wiggle, We Love Movies, It's Not Soccer Podcast, 7 Days a Geek, Anti-Semantic Show, Following the Nerd, Jellyfielders, Two Funny Girls, Zombie Life Podcast, The Unsocial Network, Panic Stations, Pod God Damn It, Chasing Greedo, Canuck Cast, Final Shot Saloon Podcast, Ask an American Podcast, Google Goddess Live, Mr. Mix Mixtape, and of course, the Random Variety Show. So, will that suffice, Mr. Producer?
I do believe it will.
excellent. Visit PodGodsNetwork.com for more information about those shows.
It's listener feedback time. That's right. It's a chance for me to give back to you since you've been giving it to me for the last 2 weeks. All right. Before we get into anything in listener feedback, I want to shout out to our guest today, Becky, the Twitter handle at CrankyMomOf2. She has just been such a wonderful fan and promoter and supporter of the show. And right here in the listener feedback section, I want to say to you personally, Becky, thank you so much for everything that you do for the show. I can't thank you enough. All right, this next listener feedback goes out to John Price. This is kind of a two-sided thing. Right after the last episode aired, he got back to me saying that he loved the concept of the interview, the way we had it set up to be kind of impromptu. And I'm glad that you enjoyed that, John. It was a fun, fun thing to put together. I'm so glad that you liked it. And then just the other day, he gets in touch with me saying that he's in the hospital. And I'm not going to get into any details or anything like that. I mean, if he wants to divulge that, he can. But he wanted to let me know that I may not hear from him, interact with him for a while. And I said, why? And he told me he was in the hospital. And so right here on the show, I want to send out some get well soon wishes to John Price. His Twitter handle is at jprice02. So if you're on Twitter, why don't you send him just a simple get well soon at jprice02? And this next little bit of listener feedback goes to a longtime friend and buddy of mine, Eddie Giesa. I've mentioned him a few times in episodes past, and I'm saying this now. Eddie, thanks so much for just being a friend and a fan of the podcast and just being you. A few weeks ago, Eddie and I had the wonderful opportunity to go out and do some catfish fishing in the evening time, and I'm so happy to say we caught 5 catfish that night. It was amazing. It was awesome. I caught, I think, one. I caught one, and he caught 4. And it was just a great night all around. It was perfect. The sad part is as we were bringing the boat back in, and mind you, the boat doesn't go very fast. It's one of those electronic trolling motors, so it really putts along. For some reason, we lost 2 of the 5. They got off the stringer, so, you know, it happens. And we witnessed it. Of course, I don't think we got pictures of it, but whatever. It's a story to tell, and that's what fishing stories are all about. So, Eddie, thank you so much for the fantastic fishing trip, the wonderful friendship, and for being the fan of the podcast that you are. Thank you. It's voicemail time. Give us a call, 619-407-8770. Leave us a message and we'll play it right here. Now, I only have one voicemail for this episode, but it's from a listener that we've never heard of before, and it's just so nice to get new responses. This is, well, he introduces himself, so take it away.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Jeff from Dallas, Texas. I just want to call and let y'all know that you're doing a great job. Love the interviews, Charlie Miller. You got it together there, and Groucho Funny as always. Keep up the good work, man, and I'll keep listening. Hope to hear more soon. Thanks. Bye.
Jeff, thank you so much for being a listener. I really do appreciate it. You don't know how much I appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time and giving us a call at 619-407-8770. Oh, there's the closing show music. That's my cue. Got to wrap this thing up, huh? Is that what you're trying to say, Reginald?
But of course, Charlie. How did you know?
Lucky guess. All right. Well, first, I'd like to say thank you so much to my guests, Becky and Jill. Thank you, ladies, so much for being on the show and sharing your stories. It was just wonderful. Thank you. Groucho, of course, thank you for being you. The show wouldn't be the same without you. Reginald, as always, thank you so much for producing the show. It really takes a whole burden off my shoulders. You don't even know. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. website is randomvarietyshow.com. Everything you need to know about the show can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. You'll find our affiliate links to Amazon and Audible. Every time you use our affiliate links, you help out the show. You'll find links to our social media networking, our Twitter, our Facebook, our Google+, our Instagram, Tumblr. You can find the voicemail number again, 619-407-8770. Give us a call. You'll find links to our iTunes. If you use iTunes, do us a favor and, you know, rate and review the show. You know, let others know what you think about the show. Let us know what you think about the show. It's the easiest way to help the show grow. And if you use Stitcher Radio, well, give us a thumbs up for every episode. That tells people that you're enjoying the show. You can also interact on Facebook right through Stitcher Radio, and I believe you can also tweet through Stitcher Radio. Use all of it. Share us with the world. You can listen to the show every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, and all time zones in between on WQ4DRadio.com. Find us on the Pod Gods Network, podgodsnetwork.com. Send us an email, therandomvarietyshowpodcast@gmail.com. And that's all one word. But just remember, everything can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. Our guest for next episode is Mr. Delirium himself, Jeffrey Welchman from the Inverse Delirium podcast. Sound effects for this episode provided by GarageBand and Freesound.org. You've been listening to the RVSP, the Random Variety Show podcast. Remember, there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. This is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller. This is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, good night, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Mr. Marks appears courtesy of the chaotic crowd in vibrations of Mr. Miller's larynx and the marvelous wizardry of the internet.
Thank you for listening. Please visit www.podgodsnetwork.com for more fantastic podcasts from around the world. Like the Facebook page and follow the Podgods on Twitter.